gets away. Good play by the youngster. Jokic sling it. Three on the way. That's good. Now Jokic going to try it again. Come down on him late. Puts it up and in. Basket counts, foul. Now Jokic reverses, and he lays it up and in on Montrezl Harrell. Now Jokic takes a three, and that's good. Jokic picks it up. You can do that after a fumble. Snap it. Morris for three. And the Nuggets are cooking with Petrol here. Now Gordon into Jokic. He's got his man pinned, and he lays it up and in. Like taking candy from a baby.
It's just so smart.
Joker gets it done again. The Nuggets win 113-107. And he had an absolute monster night. 28 points, 19 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, only 4 turnovers. And I say only 4 because when you have the ball in your hands that much and you only turn over 4 times, it's pretty good. Oh, yeah, by the way, he gets ejected with 6 minutes left. Tony Brothers, man. Tony Brothers throws guys out of the game faster than a bouncer throws Angel out of the bar. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, man.
Not even like that at the bar,
Brady. I imagine you're kind of just like, you know, you got a beer in the hand. You're just kind
of
like, no, hey.
I'm the one guy in the corner of the bar with a couple beers and some, like, pretzels or something just watching sports.
Are you you're not a social butterfly at those kind of things?
I mean, if you come up to me at the bar, I'll probably talk to you. But, I mean, I'm there to watch the game. Oh, dude. Especially at the GOAT. Oh, don't even bother.
I'm the same way. I used to go to nightclubs, not like...
Not the Den? You didn't go over there?
No, I didn't go there. But like in Fort Collins, they're just bars. They call them clubs, but they're bars. My buddies would want to go when I was in college. You've probably been to a few of them in Old Town.
And I haven't been to Fort Collins.
You haven't been to Old Town partying yet?
No.
All right.
I have not made my way over to Fort Collins enough.
You need to make that a mission. When do you graduate?
In May.
Okay. I would offer to go with you, but I'm in bed by 8:30. I don't even think these places.
You're a kid, Brady. I understand.
Oh yeah, people stop asking me to do things now, and you know what? It's freaking awesome.
Brady's got to find a babysitter. Don't worry about it.
Oh, you know, can't find one. No, it's too bad. Can't hang out. The babysitter's hard to find. Anyway, this was a nice game for the Nuggets. Now I crack up at some of the Nuggets media that don't really follow this team closely because I'm seeing on Twitter, Angel. The Nuggets were up by like 30 or whatever. They were up big. And then they were up big when Joker went out. And a bunch of people were like, there's no need for Joker to even come back in. My boy D-Mac was saying this. And they're like, yeah, no need for him to come back in. I'm like, do you guys watch Jokerless basketball? Because that sentence, they don't even need Joker for the fourth. They need, I don't care if the Nuggets are up 100-3 to start the fourth period. Everything we've seen at this point is it is Joker or bust for this team. I mean, look at it. Did you watch the last 3 minutes of that game? That was just, you know, Stanley says in the office, this here's a run out the clock situation. That is totally what Michael Malone was telling his team. This is a run out the clock situation. And they win 113-107. It was never that close, ever. But when you give up 37 points in the fourth, you're going to have a bad time. Now where do you want to go first, Angel? Here's Michael Malone. Let's do the second one about the fourth quarter when they gave up 37 points in the fourth.
The same thing that happened in San Antonio. You give up 37 points in the fourth quarter. You stop defending. You turn the ball over. So we got to look at who's in the game in the fourth quarter. That's allowing those huge runs to happen.
Who's in the game in the fourth quarter? That's where you gotta look at this. Pillified Dan says, fun night. Yeah, fun night. Stressful night. Marcus Howard, who had a beautiful night the other night. Aaron Gordon was good. Zeke Nagy. Bones Highland. Faku Kombazo. And then Reed came in. Kind of mixed in there. Joker had to check back in at 8:24. He checked back in at 8:24, and then he got his penalty at like 6:09 or whatever, or a penalty. We're in football mode. He got ejected from Tony Brothers, who just hates the Joker. He hates the Joker more than Vic Fangio hates Drew Locke. Is that fair to say? I think so. So who's in the fourth? And you just got to start looking at who was the problem? What was the major problem there? Well, you just don't have the consistent scoring, and you don't have the defense. Joker's ability. This is why I miss so badly Mason Plumlee. Couldn't score, really. But he was kind of like Aaron Gordon without the shooting ability. So I'd take two of those kind of guys. Because one of them's going to be in as power forward, and then you need another guy that's in when Joker's out. Now, they're trying to peel Aaron Gordon in and give him more minutes with the bench. Again, this is a big problem. This is a big problem. You got to be looking for something here to come off that bench. Like I said, I'm reading the tweets. They're like, oh, there's no need for Joker to come back in. I'm scratching my head. I'm like, what? We're 26 games into this, and you still don't know? When Joker goes out, bad things happen. And then he gets tossed from the game, and you're thinking, oh, wouldn't that have been a terrible loss last night? Like I said, they end up winning. Here's Nikola Jokic talking about the ejection. And then there's kind of a question in between, and then he wraps it up. But let's hit it.
Nuggets off a 4-3 run.
Oh, that was just Joker being Joker.
I don't want to talk because whatever I say is not going to change it. Like, this isn't the best league in the world. You know, we're probably the best players in the world, probably the best referees in the world. So everybody is doing their job on a high level. Yes, of course. I mean, but to be honest, I think I didn't deserve it, especially injection. I just said, call a foul because I thought it was a foul. So
he was pretty animated. It wasn't like he just went up and said, "Hey, fine gentlemen, mightn't you call thou'st foul on thy'st?"
Excuse me, sir. Can I have a foul, please?
Yeah, it was a little more. And you saw Joker's like red nose. When red nose Joker comes out, be careful, man. Run away. He looked mad. Should he have got ejected though for that? Technical, yes, but ejected? That's ridiculous. Tony Brothers wastes no time though. Throws him out quickly. Here's Michael Malone on Joker and the ejection.
Two texts, didn't get much of an explanation. Nikola can't do that. He's aware of that. Fourth quarter text and ejection. Just not a very smart play. We have to control our emotions better than that.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, Michael Malone might agree with Joker, but you folks, you got to tame this beast. Because if he goes out, if he gets tossed, let's say he gets tossed mid-third, that game's over. Wizards are coming back and winning that game. Have you ever seen an NBA team rely so heavily on their star?
Not in my memory, no. I mean, and it's weird how the league itself treats Jokic.
It's amazing to me because he's the most important player to his team that I've ever seen, and they treat him like crap.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron James has been yelling at refs for longer than
he's
I've been alive.
He's grabbing his crotch, looking at people, and doing stupid stuff.
Yeah, Jokic gets animated because there's a lot of pressure on him. We might not like to say it, but he's the guy on this team. The team flows through him.
Yeah.
If they don't have him on the floor, they're not good.
And he knows that. He knows that. He's not cocky about it. He just knows, if I'm not out there, there's like a 78-80% chance we are losing the game if I'm not out there for a good chunk of time. And I've never seen a team rely so much on their star and actually still be okay. I mean, I've seen teams rely on their stars, but these are teams that are like, yeah, if it wasn't for him, we'd be like 3-26 right now. But because of him, we're 12-19. You know, with Joker, how many wins do the Nuggets have right now if the Joker's not on the floor? Are we looking at 5, 6, 7, 8? What are they at, 14? Probably 5. Probably one of the worst teams in the NBA. And I get that things would change because you'd have to practice that way, but everything they do revolves around Nikola Jokic. So I want to get into more of this. We're going to have Harrison Wind. Harrison Wind put together the last sequence, the 2 or 3 minutes, the minute and a half to 2 minutes leading up to the tech and then the ejection. Well, you can see why. The refs were absolutely not. They were missing everything on Joker, calling everything that he did. You can see where he starts to get frustrated. So we're going to talk to Harrison about that. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. 4 games remaining for the Broncos. What's their record going to be in those 4 games? That's what I want to know. Are you going 1-3? You're going 1-3. So does that mean they lose to the Bengals?
Yeah.
So you got them
losing to the Bengals, Chargers, and Chiefs.
So they're beating the Raiders.
Yep. I'm partially biased because my team is
that's
in the playoff
just
hunt
wishful
too.
Wishful thinking for you.
Well, yeah, because my team's in
what
the playoff.
What about Patrick
hunt,
Sertan? So, aren't you rooting for him?
Of course, Patrick and Jerry and Kareem, of course, one of the older guys. But my own team's in the playoff hunt now, so get out of the way.
Oh, that's not very nice. Hooligans, attack Angel. I'll give him your email.
Oh, I know
soon.
I'm going to get it for the next 2 weeks from
get,
you guys.
Get so, after him. Get after him. 15 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets coming up next. The Nuggets are back over the 500 record. What's the Broncos record going to be in these next four games? Are they going to win enough to get in this thing for the first time since the Super Bowl year? You've never seen one of those for the Dolphins, Angel. You've never seen one of those. 16 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Schammel this season for UNC basketball coverage on Northern Colorado's voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, the Nuggets, as we talked about, found a way to get the W, but what a strange ending to this one. And Nikola Jokic absolutely tore it up. 28 points plus 21. I mean, the 19 boards couldn't get 20. Joker, my gosh. But he gets ejected from this one. Harrison Wynn joining us from DNVR Nuggets. Harrison, who would win in a fight, Nikola Jokic or Tony Brothers? I think we just need to have this like pay-per-view event and get it over with, because there's this frustration that we're never going to get over until those two just have it out.
Those two have a history. That's for sure. Yeah, those two definitely have a history. And the emotions, it's tough because, look, Jokic, what led to that ejection last night, there were a bunch, three or four no-calls that happened in a row against right. Nikola Jokic that really got him frustrated. And Tony Brothers was right in front of a couple of those. And that kept building, and then it got to a point where he couldn't take it anymore, and he blew up at him.
And that's what we see sometimes, right? And again, the disrespect continues, and I know a lot of people that aren't Nuggets fans think that we're just whining a little bit, but I mean, I saw what you highlighted on Twitter. You kind of highlighted that last few sequences or so that led to that, and Joker was you know, he wasn't getting too overly upset or anything like that, but you can imagine when you're the superstar of a team, the ball's coming to you all the time, they're expecting so much of you on defense, that when you're seeing so many missed calls left and right, it's frustrating. And then fans, of course, we tend to think, man, again, there's just another example of the MVP being the most disrespected MVP perhaps in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, look, we're used to it. We've been talking about this for 2 years, Brady. And yeah. The thing is, he actually went to the line 11 times last night, which is a very high total. That's a high number of free throws for Nikola Jokic to take in a game. Now, he could be taking that every night, and on a lot of nights, he probably could take 20 free throws per game. But look, he's, I think, honestly adapted his game pretty well over the years to not getting calls. He knows how to play through it, and he can still dominate like he did last night through three quarters without getting the same superstar-type calls that a lot of other guys do. So you got to give him credit there, but yeah, I mean, he should be walking to the line for 15 free throws a night. It's pretty obvious to most people watching.
So he still had this incredible night. I was cracking up at Nuggets Twitter last night, Harrison. I saw so many people, and some media members too, were like, "Eh, what's the point of bringing Joker back in the fourth? I mean, the Nuggets are smoke." I'm like, have we watched the Nuggets at all without Nikola Jokic? I mean, I could almost predict there's going to be a comeback here when the Joker goes. And I wish it wasn't the case, and I hope that changes. But Harrison, for the most part, when the Joker is not on the floor, more bad things happen than good.
Yeah, it's comical, really. When he goes to the bench, it's almost like a running joke right now.
Yeah.
How long is it going to take this second unit to give up the lead? It's sad that we're this far into the season and that's still the case. We've been playing that game from game one to game 27 now. But it's the Nuggets' reality. I think it, you know, shows why he is the most valuable player. You know, you can have a different definition of what that means, but if you're talking about value, like, it's Nikola Jokic, full stop. So we'll see what happens with, you know, the Nuggets bench going forward if they make a move or something at the deadline. They're so banged up right now that I don't even think they know what their actual bench even is, just the guys they're down. But, yeah, he is this entire team, it seems.
Have you ever seen a team rely so heavily on their superstar? Because, you know, there's been amazing stars. I know LeBron's probably up there with Cleveland because when he leaves that first mm-hmm. that first stint, they were, you know, they were pretty bad. But it just seems like, and I don't know, I didn't watch Cleveland Cavs games as closely as we watch Nuggets games, but I don't remember a star like instantly goes to the bench and then all hell breaks loose. I mean, there was at least a little wiggle room, a little breathing room there.
Yeah, the Cavs teams were the ones I was thinking about, but recently or even in the league now, I can't think of a team, you know, maybe other than the Warriors and Steph Curry, because if you think about both Steph and Jokic, those two guys are their entire team's identity. You know, everything that both those teams do is because of how Steph Curry plays and how Nikola Jokic plays. Their entire identities, they're like their entire way of life for those two teams. So that would be the only guy I can think of right now in Steph that has as much, is as central to what his team does as Jokic is.
All right, Harrison, talking to Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets. Now, I know Will Barton was out in this one, but what do we do here? What do the Nuggets do? Like you said, the injury situation is certainly nothing to overlook, and you don't really get that real sense of what your team is like, really on the bench. But what do we do here? Do the Nuggets get aggressive? Do they believe there's two or three guys on this bench that they can sit down and say, hey, the time is now for you to be a consistent leader? I know there's a lot of young guys on that bench, too. Bones Highland, as much as I love the guy, and I think he's going to be a fixture in Nuggets fans' living rooms forever on TV, but that's hard to rely on a rookie that often. So what do we do here? What's the situation look like? You can't keep going like this, can you?
Well, they're 14-13 right now. They've had one of the hardest schedules in the league, and Michael Malone said this last night. Out of the teams in the West, they've played the least amount of home games and the most road games. So going forward, their schedule is really going to lighten up. It's super home heavy. I think Denver kind of wants to see if they can find a rhythm, you know, when they're not playing so many games on the road going forward here. Like, with how bad this bench has been, they're still 14-13.
True.
With the hardest schedule. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to see if they can get this thing to work, you know, over the next month or so, and then maybe look to upgrade at the trade deadline or something like that. I know I rattle off all stats about the road games and whatnot. They're still out of town for most of the rest of December.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's really wild how the schedule shapes up. But they have had a really tough schedule so far, but they are okay. They are 14-13, and they are okay right now.
I'm looking at it. This is is this COVID stuff, protocols, travel-wise? Because you look at it, they went out on the road on Monday, November 29th. They just got back for the Washington game at home. They have Minnesota at home. Then they're back on the road for three more games. Then home against Charlotte. Back on the road for two games against the Clippers and the Warriors. And then home on the 30th. Absolutely mind-boggling. That is a brutal schedule. Even if those, you know, even if some of those teams are average, mediocre type teams, that's tough.
Yeah, and they just went on this 7-game road trip, and it's not like Denver has a 7-game homestand in the second half of the season. The schedule isn't balanced that way. They have a couple long homestands, but not a 7-game one. So I think Denver was just hoping to get through this first stretch of the season unscathed. And they've had a lot of injuries. They've had COVID stuff. Look, the reality of the situation is they're going to be undermanned for a while with Michael Porter Jr. probably not returning for the year, or at least I don't think he does. Jamal Murray, you know, maybe you can look around the All-Star break for him to come back at the earliest. But they're going to be down guys for a while. So I think they just want to get through this first stretch and then kind of reassess where they're at, and they're kind of almost on the other side of it.
What are you looking at? I know we're seeing a lot of fun videos about Jamal Murray. You know, he's shooting, he's jumping up, and he's doing some things there. And that's great to see. I know fans love that. But what does that really mean, Harrison? What are you thinking? I mean, I know you said All-Star break, maybe that's kind of being generous. But what does your gut tell you? When could we see Jamal Murray first?
That's kind of what my gut's telling me. Maybe post All-Star break. It's on the earlier side of historically guys coming back from ACL tears, but everything has signaled that Jamal is right on pace with his rehab. Everything's on schedule. He's had no setbacks or anything. He, of course, wants to get back really badly. And the thing that might decide, you know, when he comes back is the Nuggets record. Like, if Denver is in a good position in the West, if they think they can make a run in the playoffs, I think that would definitely signal for him to come back. But if something happens, if the injuries still keep mounting and Denver like falls out of playoff position, God forbid, maybe Denver pushes the pause button and is like, okay, do we really need him to come back? Or, you know, do we want to just play the last couple weeks of the season? I'm just speculating here. But I think the Nuggets record around that time of the year will play a big role in, you know, when he comes back and what his usage is when he does come back.
The other interesting thing is you know, I know a lot of us are kind of freaking out at the Nuggets being just 14-13. You know, you want them to be higher up in the Western Conference, but save for the top three teams in the West, with the Warriors, Suns, and the Jazz, everybody else is kind of having those similar issues. You know, Memphis hasn't completely pulled away from that 500 mark yet. Certainly the Clippers and the Lakers are in that mix. So everybody, save for three or four teams, is kind of in that same hovering around 500 or so.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's three elite teams in the West, the Warriors, the Suns, and the Jazz. And the next maybe six or seven teams are all in the same tier right now. And Denver's right in that group. So yeah, there's no need to panic or anything. I don't think the Nuggets are. But they just kind of got to hold steady here and hope the home second half of the schedule and that they can take advantage of it.
Talking to Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets. Okay, Harrison, we started this new thing called Rapid Fire, and I just throw three or four questions at you, and you answer as quickly as you possibly can, just whatever comes to your head. Are you down to that? We do this with your friend Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, and he usually passes the test. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it, Angel. All right, here we go. Good grill type music for Harrison. Harrison, let's see here. Will the Nuggets finish in the top four in the Western Conference?
I'm going to say no.
Will we see Michael Porter Jr. in a Nuggets uniform this season or in the playoffs?
I'm going to say no.
Will Nikola Jokic win back-to-back MVP titles?
I'm going to say no.
Will the Nuggets be a play-in team instead of a playoff team right off the bat?
No.
Will we ever see a Nikola Jokic, Tony Brothers, UFC-style fight?
Absolutely, yes.
Harrison, appreciate you, man. Great. You passed with flying colors. A lot of people crumble and they just hang up. So you passed. We appreciate you as always. What are you working on that we can check out at DNVR Nuggets?
I'm about to head into the studio. We got a live show with Dane Moore, who covers the Timberwolves, who the Nuggets are hosting on Wednesday here. So he's in town. We're going to talk Nuggets Timberwolves and how those two franchises have gone absolutely opposite ways since that game 82 a couple years ago.
That's
going to be fun.
That's really interesting because, yeah, you're right. That was kind of a cross section there for both franchises, and I thought that was going to be a heated rivalry for years to come. So that should be a great conversation. Harrison, my man, appreciate you as always. We'll catch up with you soon.
Yep, take care, man.
Harrison Wynn, DNVR Nuggets. Great job on that. Being ready. I didn't even have that planned, Angel. We were just ready. I just looked at you.
I had to go find it, but It was in there.
34 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Let's take a look at what Colorado State's up to. Kevin Lytle has the Coloradoan on a constant refresh, looking at commitments and transfer portals and all this stuff coming over for Colorado State. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
They're celebrating their 10th anniversary. That's On the Rocks Liquor. And, of course, we've got our game beer of the week each and every week. This one's from Crabtree Brewing. It's an oatmeal stout. You can pick up selections from Crabtree or any of your favorite adult beverages. You can use the drive-thru. Open until midnight every single night. That's Friday and Saturday. They got their free wine tasting. Friday and Saturdays, free tastings from 4 to 7 o'clock. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. What will be the Broncos' record in their final four games of the season? They're going to go, well, it looks like the majority is saying, well, 2-2. It was 1-3 was leading the clubhouse. Now it's 2-2 and 1-3 are tied. 6% think they're going undefeated. They're going to be, well, Zach Stevens told us yesterday, you very well could see a Chiefs team at the end of the season that has nothing to play for. So that would give you a Chiefs win potentially. But again, we've seen the Broncos lose to Case Keenum. So I wouldn't get too like, oh, backup quarterback. Broncos are licking their chops. There was like a backup everything for Cleveland when they lost to them on Thursday night. So I wouldn't get too over the top there. I'll give you my official pick. Now, I did get my pick right, Broncos to win and cover over Detroit. So I'm back up over 500, Angel. I figured you'd appreciate that. I'm 27-26 with four games remaining. So if I can get that, I'll at least hit my five games over. I can get five games over 500. Although Air Force has a bowl game, so I do get to pick that locally, right? That counts, right? So I could get to your six.
Yes.
But I got to be right.
I might count that one for you.
You don't like to count bowl season?
Well, it just depends. If you are close enough, I might give it to you. If you're not, if there's no chance you get six, then
you might say it. Give me a bonus game or something. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So you think the Broncos are going 1-3. You think their only win is going to be against the Raiders. And I think that's more wishful thinking on your part.
I think that's just reality. I think the Bengals are one of the... I mean, it's hard to say who's the best team in the NFL right now, but...
Yeah,
the
Bengals have lost two in a row.
They have, but I think their offense is insanely good. I think Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow are just ridiculous right now.
I'm more worried about their defensive line putting a stop to the Broncos' run game, because if they can't run, I have no confidence in Teddy Bridgewater. Zero. And this team rode it out. Hey, they stuck to their guns. They were not going to go the Drew Lock route no matter what, unless they absolutely had to, and they did a couple of times, and I get it. It didn't work out, but this was not ever the long-term solution. I wonder if the Broncos were surprised by this, that they're 7-6. 7-6, four games away, four games out, and they have a legitimate shot at playoffs. I wonder if they're probably not, because you don't go pay Teddy Bones to come here if you don't think that he can at least hold the thing together for you. Because he's had a history of doing that with some of the teams, right? He did that with the Saints, kind of held things together while they were battling through injuries. It's tough for me. I mean, again, without giving predictions away, you're at home against the Bengals. That's going to be the toughest of, well, their next 2 weeks. Chargers just depends, man. I mean, because the Chargers were rolling at one point, then went back down. Maybe they're starting to get it again. We're going to find out on Thursday. That's going to be interesting. And, you know, you are, at this stage, you're definitely, if you're Broncos, you're rooting for the Chiefs to win. You want the Chiefs to beat the Chargers because you want the Chiefs to clinch the division. And they won't ever admit this, but you want your best shot. And if it does come down to having to beat the Chiefs, then you would sure appreciate it if the Chiefs had nothing left to play for. And that could get you in. And who knows? Give you a shot. This is fun. This is fun right now.
I think this is one of the more intriguing last 6 weeks of the NFL I've ever seen. With the amount,
let me ask you this.
That are good and then losing games, it's crazy.
Is this because of the added game? Is that why we're seeing so tight right now? We've seen tight playoff races before, but have you ever seen this many teams? Like, no offense, but I forgot the Dolphins were actually in this thing, but they are in the hunt.
They're at 13th.
They're the last one that could possibly get in because you got the Jets, Texans, and Jags eliminated. The Dolphins are the last one out, but they're only a game behind everybody else. They're sitting at 6-7. Now, normally in a regular season, you see 6-7 if you're not a division leader. Don't you think? No, there's no way. 6-7 at this point? But because of that extra game, is that really what's causing all this chaos?
I think it's partially that. I think also the gap between the elite teams and the middle back teams is closing, especially with these young quarterback teams.
And so does that lead you to believe we're going to have – I mean, we're just going to have a lot of – we're not going to have – we're going to have – it's hard to say we're not going to have elite teams, but you're going to have a lot of really good teams, but nobody pulls away from the pack in the future because you are seeing some ridiculously good young quarterback play.
Yeah, I mean, we see it week in, week out. You know, Cardinals, Packers, Bills, Patriots, all these teams, they get to the number one seed, and they're there for a week, and then they lose, and then another team's in there. And it's just everyone's flip-flopping, playing each other down the stretch, and it's making it really interesting.
Look at your top 10, your top 9 teams in the AFC. You got Mac Jones, rookie, your boy. He's not your boy.
Not this season. No, not until the offseason.
You had to make a choice between two of your children, and you chose one of the children. You broke the cardinal sin, but you did.
Well, I had 3 kids to pick from.
Oh, okay.
Jalen, Tua, and Mac. I just went with Tua. Jalen left, so that's on him.
So you got with Tennessee. Okay, Ryan Tannehill. We all know they're still. Hats off to them, man. Without Derrick Henry, they found a way to keep this thing afloat.
He might be back before the playoffs too, so yeah. Watch out.
Okay, so Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, relatively young quarterback still. Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, I know he's banged up, but relatively young quarterback still. Justin Herbert, Carson Wentz, okay, nah. Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, relatively young quarterback still. Baker Mayfield, young quarterback. Joe Burrow, young quarterback. Save for Ryan Tannehill and Carson Wentz, those are all young rookies to 4 years in the league?
Yep, 2, 3, 4 years.
Boy,
they're all on their rookie deals. They should be.
That tells you something, doesn't it? These are all good quarterbacks. These are all really good, and that's just the AFC. That's what I'm saying about Denver. You're missing the boat here. The fact that you're hanging in there is great. That's admirable, but at the end of the day, you're going to need a quarterback if you want to be in this mix on, you know, long term.
Well, yeah, you have to jump in now before this next wave of young guys comes in.
Because, I mean, are the Chargers going to get better? You got to think. This AFC West is not going to get any easier. So it's a very tight race. I mean, nobody's really running all the way away with this thing. I mean, if you think about it, as crazy as this sounds, the Broncos are just 2 games behind the Patriots. Like, that's how weird this race is in the AFC. The Pats are sitting at 9-4. If they have a terrible end of the season and the Broncos catch fire, who knows? That's what's nuts about this. You got 3 9-4 teams at the top. Normally you got, you know, there's like a team that has two losses. So it's more like a four game lead, and then they can build on that in these last few. But the Patriots have some battles coming up. They have some games coming up.
Well, I mean, everyone plays each other.
Got
Patriots, Bills, Patriots, Colts this weekend.
The end of the
Bengals,
schedule.
Ravens play each other.
The final 4 games of the season is wild, man. Just this week alone, you have Baltimore. Who's Baltimore have? I thought I had that written down. Lost it because I know that one's an interesting game. You have New England at Indianapolis. That's a seeding game. Obviously, Thursday is crazy. It starts with Kansas City and Los Angeles. Hell, the Raiders aren't done, and they're at Cleveland. I'm looking at some of the... You guys, you have New York. You should get that one with the Jets. Pittsburgh and Tennessee. Cincinnati and Denver. Green Bay and Baltimore. That's right. That's going to be tough for Baltimore. They may fall out of this thing. Baltimore loses this week. The Broncos are a game behind the Ravens. Now, they lost, so they're game and a half. Whew!
It's going to be fun.
That's just this week, dude.
No, every game the next 4 or 5 weeks is huge for every team.
Week 16, this is going to be playoff meaning for two teams on the out on the opposite sides, but Indianapolis and Arizona on Saturday, on Christmas. You have Baltimore at Cincinnati next week, Buffalo at New England, Pittsburgh at Kansas City, obviously Denver at Vegas. That's an interesting... this thing could come down to the wire, and not just one... Normally, in a regular season, it comes down to, like, the last week for, like, one or two teams. It could be the last week for, like,
the
all of the
playoff
teams.
Like, this set and I'm on just, the last week.
I'm just looking at the AFC. This is nuts, man.
The NFC is just as competitive,
it's just
too.
As much. Nobody's pulling away in that one, either. I mean...
Heck, we thought the Cardinals were the best, and they lose.
Oh, what a weird game, too. Cardinals are up 3-0, driving like it's nothing, like it's easy. And then they get the turnover. And then at the end, the Rams just, that's, they just take control from that point on. They never got control again. I felt like you were having, you know, so a great night overall from the this Cardinals team to start. And then that just goes to show you, man. It's been wacky, dude.
Very competitive NFL season so far. And it's only going to get more intense.
I mean, in the NFC, it's like Green Bay, I get it. But does Tampa Bay and Arizona even feel like they're 10-3? They don't feel like they're 10-3, do they?
No, and you give Tampa the edge just because of Brady. But I mean, they're in just... Cowboys are sitting there at 4. The Rams are still in there. The Niners are jumping up again. Like...
The Bears aren't eliminated. I mean, they're not eliminated at 4-9.
Washington's at 7 right now.
Seattle's not out of this thing yet. We buried
Seattle's
them.
Not out
we
of
left
it.
Them
Carolina,
for,
New Orleans, Atlanta.
We left Seattle for dead 3 weeks ago. And now look, they're 5-8.
NFL.com still has the Bears in it somehow.
No, ESPN, they're in it. They're legitimately still in this thing. Detroit's the only team that's mathematically eliminated from playoffs. And that's only, you know, if they would have won two more games, they'd be in the hunt. 12:51 the time. We'll take a short break. How many games? How many games is this Broncos team going to win? Brady, I think injuries, illness has been a contributor to this. Sure, I would imagine so. There's a lot. NFC is top-heavy, Pillow Fight Dan says. AFC is deep with a bunch of average teams. Bodes well for whoever comes out of the NFC. All right, we'll get to text on the other side. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
I want to thank Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. They're the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. Their services are as unique as life. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Their number is 970-330-6824. Live well, plan ahead. The website is Mosier, M-O-S-E-R, funeralservice.com. MosierFuneralService.com. Power to Play Sports, poll question of the day. How many? What's the record going to be in this final four stretch for the Broncos? There are a lot of unique openings as far as the AFC West or the AFC is concerned, though, because I don't know how long is Lamar Jackson supposed to be out? High ankle sprain. That's not good.
Burrow's got a finger issue.
So I'm not even just looking at the teams right in front of Denver, like Cincinnati, Cleveland, Buffalo, and Indy. Baltimore's a game ahead of Denver, a game and a half because they have the tiebreaker. You mean to tell me without Lamar Jackson, this team is a playoff team? They're like the Nuggets. Lamar Jackson and Nikola Jokic have a lot in common. They rely so heavily on their guy, they live and die by him, which is both a beautiful thing and a terrifying thing, because if he ever goes down, then you're in trouble. So... this thing is far from over. I mean, the Broncos have an opening anyway, but you look at the Ravens, the Patriots at the top of this thing, that is not a shoe-in. There's so much chaos that's going to happen in the next 4 weeks. It's going to the playoff standings are going to change. I guarantee you what we're looking at right now, Pats, Titans, Chiefs, Ravens, Chargers, Colts, Bills, that's all going to be different by the time we're talking Tuesday afternoon next week.
Yeah, everything, it's going to be a week-by-week thing for the rest of the way.
And if that's the way that this 17-game schedule is going to do us, okay, sign me up.
I like it.
I'm good, yeah. Because right now, if you're Denver, you'd be 7-6. You'd have three games remaining, and you'd have to win out, essentially, to get in. And, well, and again, that seventh spot does open things up. That's why the Dolphins, Raiders, Steelers, and that's why they're still in this thing. Because you have one other spot to get in and an extra game. So we have had the changes that is, I believe, really has helped. I was skeptical about both. Didn't like the idea of adding that seventh playoff team. But it's all right so far. All right, we'll take a short break. When we come back, second hour coming up, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.